Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
I got nervous.
I cannot wait till we reunite, which hopefully is soon. Actually, like, it technically could be happening.
Yeah, I have our little podcast table all set up in this bedroom. I also want you to know that I turned on the air conditioning today. So
in your house?
Yeah, so I'm actually wearing jeans right now, and it's 90 degrees outside.
Maybe next time we have to record, I'll come over.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, great. I'd love that because my office is about 8,000 degrees. I'll get into that in a second. Okay, so if this is your first time listening, welcome. We're a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives all the episodes. We're currently in season 9, episode 23 and 24, which are the finale episodes. And we're a spoilers podcast. We talk about everything in the Grey's Anatomy world, whether it happened in the episode we're in or it's going to happen in the future.
That is correct. So if you don't want to be spoiled, watch the show and then listen to the podcast.
Yes. And if you want to support us or just get some more bonus content, you can go to our Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. All of those give you different levels of, I keep wanting to say gifts, so I'm going to call it gifts. You get
great
monthly bonus episodes. You get access to our private Facebook group. You get once a year, we mail you something around Christmas time. There's all sorts of really great things, our Zoom meetings we have once a month with our $10 patrons, and also our post-op section, which is the bonus like 10 minutes or so at the end of the episode. If you're listening to it on Patreon and you're a $10 attending, you get basically a bonus 10 minutes where we talk about something to do with the episodes we just talked about.
Yeah. This week we are going to be reading a reaction article after this episode first aired. So that when the season 9 finale aired, someone wrote a reaction and like made predictions about what was going to happen. And I thought it would just be funny to talk about how none of the things happened. So
I think that's great. Also, just so you guys know, we are so thankful to our patrons because not only are you supporting us and helping us pay for all the things that come along with having a podcast? But for the month of June, we took 50% of the proceeds or of our podcast donations. I don't even know how to call them donations, payments. And we donated them to 2 really wonderful organizations in lieu of everything that is happening in the world right now. The first one is the NAACP of Grand Rapids. We decided to do 2 local, they're not nonprofits, just 2 local organizations to donate to because we believe in like helping your own neighborhood kind of. So that was the first one. And then the second one is the Grand Rapids African American Health Institute. It's a leading national organization devoted to achieving healthcare parity for African Americans in the city here. We thought that in the medical community, which we talk about a lot on this show, it would be helpful to donate something that helps with that. So we are just really thankful that you guys are donating, and we want you to know that we're going to continue to try to support different causes as they come up in our conversations. And we couldn't have done that without you. So thank you so much.
Couldn't have said it better, Abby.
Thanks.
I have nothing to add.
Perfect. And we also just hope that if you haven't read or heard our statement already, go ahead and listen to the episode from last week. You can check our Instagram page or in our Facebook group. But we just want to reiterate again that Bree and I strongly believe that Black Lives Matter. And over here on the On-Call Room, we are doing what we can to educate ourselves, to learn, to look within, and to, in the future, continue to amplify melanated voices and just really try to shine a light on organizations and things that can help the lives of our Black community. So,
yes. I just wanted to point out too that last week's episode does not have in the show notes. Well, I posted a link about what we talked about last week in the show notes, but it also doesn't have a time mark about when Gray's discussion begins, because I thought it was important that everyone listen to the beginning of last week's podcast.
Ooh, so nice. I like it.
So, I mean, we didn't we didn't talk about our boring, shitty lives. I mean, not shitty, like shitty as in being in a pandemic, but
right.
So we figured though that we wanted everyone to listen to the beginning of the podcast. So we'll go back to putting where Gray's content is probably starting this week. So
yeah, perfect. You can also follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod. You can leave us a message on our website, which is www.theoncallroompod.com. And you can rate and review us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you are listening to your podcasts. 5 stars, aka 5 scalpels, please. That's about it for announcements.
Yep.
I wish we had like an announcement voice, like an elementary school where you can't quite hear. It's like a kid reading announcements. I want that.
I always wanted to be the one who got to do announcements. Remember someone got to go like over the intercom. And I think I remember who it was in high school. And I was so jealous of her. But I would have been terrible. I would have been so nervous.
In middle school, it was I don't think he was the principal. I think he was like the vice principal. But I remember he would say, make it a great day or not. The choice is yours.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like every single day he said that.
I don't remember. Well, I think in like middle school, it would like rotate. But like the girl who did it in high school also did it in middle school. So I think you had to like get in middle school and like be like, I did this.
I don't even remember high school announcements.
You don't? It was second and 6 hour, I believe, there were announcements. So it wasn't every hour.
Also, it's just so weird to think about, like, high school. Like, you go, like, you have all these topics. It's just so different than college, you know, like, where you, like, have this, like, weird schedule where you can make it up and you have breaks. Like, you just go from one thing to another and it's so tiring.
It's exhausting. Yeah. I think it's really exhausting for teachers too. Think about like how tired you were as a kid, but then think about being an adult and doing that.
And teaching the same, I mean, I know they don't always teach the same class that many times in a row, but what if you did? Like teaching the same class 5 times in a row.
Oh, no. Thank you. I yawned thinking about that.
So Bree, I think you should tell the listeners what happened to you this morning because it made me laugh.
What happened to me this morning?
You had a delivery.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So we ordered a king size bed. Well, the weirdest thing was John, like last weekend or this past weekend, so probably 4 days ago, got a text message from this guy, like random guy, random number, and was like, hey, this is Jet or hi John, this is Jet Delivery. I do apologize for messaging you so late, but I just found out we're getting a mattress truck in with a king mattress for you on Monday. As long as we get that okay, we would like to deliver it on Tuesday between 10:30 and 2:30. Just wanted to give you plenty of notice. Have a blessed weekend. John was like, first of all, okay. Second of all, what?
Right.
Like random number, like not connected to any business. And we're like, well, clearly it's legit because why would this random person know we bought a mattress? But anyway, the point of all that is I was like, I don't think I can. I have therapy at noon on Tuesday. I don't really want to move it. So like maybe we could do Thursday morning or like Monday in the evening. So John responds back and is like, hey, Tuesday doesn't really work for us. And then said what I just said. And they were like, okay, we'll get back to you. Never heard from them. So then today is Tuesday. This morning, got up. I was like drinking coffee. I was in like had no bra on, deep V, like booty short pajama shorts. My hair was in a half top knot. Like I looked just, I didn't look great. And all of a sudden there's a huge moving truck in the middle of my road. And I was like, fuck. Is that for us? And sure as shit, some guy walks up to the front door and just opened it. And I was like, are you delivering a mattress? And he was like, yes. We have these like French doors going up to upstairs. And we had wanted, because it's an old home, so the ceilings are low and stuff, like by the staircase. And so we like wanted to take off those French doors to make sure. John is good. Meanwhile, John's getting ready for work. He's in the shower. Remember how that text said between 10:30 and 2:30 on Tuesday? It was 9 o'clock. Yeah. So it wasn't even the right time. And so I like go in the bathroom and I'm like, John, they're delivering the mattress. We haven't set up our bed frame. Like John works till like 8 or 9 tonight. And he was like, God damn it, what? And so he got out of the shower. He had to like take a French door off while they were trying to move it. I mean, it all worked out, but thank God I got out of bed early today.
Yeah, I love when you like aren't, the worst thing about working from home is when people come to the door, because when you work from home or you're at home, you don't dress as if you're seeing the public. Like,
no.
Like I'm not like constantly ready to like go talk to someone. Yep. Like the other week I was working out in my like living room, which usually I go in the basement, and a friend was dropping someone off. Like she's like a new friend, I would say. And she was bringing me this book that I'm borrowing, and I walk out and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like really sweaty. I was wearing like workout clothes that no one would see me in, like the sports bra and booty shorts. And I did not realize until I came inside that they are definitely not like sweat wicking. And it looked like I'd wet myself. They're like lighter gray. And just in my crotch area was like complete wetness. Like it just, and I was like, oh, good.
Great. Good. Yeah, this is your.
But now, are you excited to go to bed tonight?
Well, yeah. I mean, we just have to get it all set up tonight when he gets home from work. But I went up to go visit my sister this past weekend in Traverse City. And so there's still not like a ton of things open up there, but I would say maybe, I guess downstate now more stuff is opening, but like they were opening stuff earlier than we were. But since right. There wasn't a ton of stuff open, I like literally all we did was like went shopping. And so I spent like a lot of money on just like, oh, this looks nice. I'm in Target. Yeah. I haven't been in Target in forever. Anyway, point of that is thank goodness we did, because I got king size sheets. Otherwise,
yes. We
wouldn't have had any sheets to put on our bed. So they're washing.
Very exciting.
Yeah, they're in the washer right now. Thrilling stuff.
That isn't really thrilling. I had something else to say, but I can't remember. Other than that, we got a tree cut down in our backyard since we last recorded, like a huge tree. It was dead. And it was very exciting to watch. And also, my backyard is huge now, but it's also in complete sunshine. Like, there's no more shade.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess I kind of figured it out, but my office faces, like, it gets west, like the sunset sun. And it was so hot today. Like, I was sitting on the ground in my office because it was cooler down low. You know, like it was literally the temperature. And then I realized it's because I'm an idiot. And all of my blinds were open. So, and my windows were shut because we have the air in, like, one room. And I was trying to get it in here. Well, no, I was just creating a greenhouse effect. Like, the sun was coming in and it couldn't escape.
Hot boxing it.
It was so hot. So, right now, I am wearing, like, I'm not even wearing pants. I'm wearing underwear and like a tank top, no bra, and I'm sitting on a leather chair as far on the edge as I can go to it because my ass is sticking to the seat. And I could move to the like my standing desk, but I would have to move this microphone and everything. So I just like, I'm really, I'm feeling it right now.
Well.
But I can't complain because it's summer.
Yeah, and next time, I mean, we can record here. Today was the first day that we turned on the air. And
so exciting.
It's nice to know that it's working. I mean, it's definitely like taking a long, we have a, you know, big old house. So like it's taking a while to cool everything off. But yeah, it was nice walking in from therapy and being like, oh my God. Cause also my car doesn't have air conditioning, you know? So
right.
It was nice to walk in and be like, oh, it's like pleasant in here right now.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the bill though. Like what? Okay.
Yeah, just ignore it.
Just don't pay it.
Just don't pay it. Yeah. So also, it's crazy. We're at the finale.
I know. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like it really like snuck up on us.
Also, this finale feels different than other finales because there's not like, I mean, the storm I would say is like the central through line, but there's not like one giant incident that happens.
Yeah.
You know, like the shooter, the plane crash. Like there's just not as many things. It kind of actually reminds me, well, no, because even the Denny Duquette finale, I would say like, yes, there's like the prom and all these other things, but like Denny dying is the main like tragedy.
And yeah, well, like cutting his LVAD wire and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
This maybe reminds me a little bit of the season 4 finale, the one that the House of Candles. I think that's 4,
oh,
maybe 5.
Yeah.
Like, because there's like some love, some sad, like a bunch of shit just happening at once. But this one just is not as memorable to me, but that doesn't mean I didn't love it. Like, I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I'd say we just get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. I have a lot to say.
So do I. I would agree with you that I ended up liking it more than I remembered. But we'll talk about that when we rate it.
Okay.
So, yeah. But this is season 9, episode 23 and episode 24. Readiness is all in perfect storm. Do you want to read the first one?
Sure. This one's by Meredith Gray. They hit you out of nowhere. When bad things come, they come suddenly, without warning. We rarely get to see the catastrophe coming. No matter how well we try to prepare for it, we do our very best, but sometimes it's just not good enough. We buckle our seatbelts, we wear a helmet, we stick to the lighted paths, we try to be safe. We try so hard to protect ourselves, but it doesn't make a damn bit of difference, because when the bad things come, they come out of nowhere. The bad things come suddenly with no warning, but we forget that sometimes that's how the good things come too. Oh, sorry, but we forget that sometimes that's how the good things come too.
Mm. Inflection, intonation.
Yeah, it's kind of like Alexander or the dear Alexander or the comma, you know, like it makes a big difference. Hamilton, anyways, I can't remember the line.
I think I know what you're talking about. Anyway, perfect storm. This is also by Meredith Gray. I had this badass professor in med school. She seemed invincible. Then one day she needed her gallbladder out and the surgery killed her. Her platelets stopped clotting. She bled out on the table. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. Surgeons have a name for it. We call it a perfect storm. Funny. Never thought it would happen to me. There's an end to every storm. Once all the trees have been uprooted, once all the houses have been ripped apart, the wind will hush, the clouds will part, the rain will stop. The sky will clear in an instant, and only then, in those quiet moments after the storm, do we learn who is strong enough to survive it.
Dun, dun.
All right. I added the short summaries.
Perfect. I love it. For the first one, readiness is all. The doctors of Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital prepare for a superstorm headed towards Seattle. Owen's desire to be a parent gets stronger as he becomes closer to Ethan. One wrong move puts the lives of Meredith and her baby in jeopardy. Meanwhile, Joe looks to Alex for help in a moment of crisis, and one doctor gets the shock of her life.
And for perfect storm, Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital enters crisis mode as the storm rages, resources become scarce, and patients flood in by the busload. Meanwhile, one of the doctors fights for their life.
Nice. Shotgun workup, we've got Jason Myers, temporal bones fracture, epidural hemorrhage, torn dura.
Torn
dura? It looks like Tom. My eyes are bad. Tyler Sims, encephalocele, facial cleft, Paul Dawson, coma and a clot, Leon King, impaling injuries, broken leg, Meredith Gray, pregnancy, face presentation, disseminated intravascular coagulation, splenic bleed, James Strickland, pericardial effusion, Barbara Yu, arm injury, Evelyn Yu, no diagnosis, but Jackson saved her, Jackson Avery, dislocated shoulder, and Richard Weber, electrocution. Ugh.
Ugh. And then we have, you know what patient wasn't on there? Was Frank.
Which one? Wait, who's Frank?
Frank was like the guy who went to go check the generator that Richard was like going.
Oh, he wasn't interesting.
On the, yeah, I think he had a heart attack or something.
So sad.
Poor Frank. Okay, rounds. First, we have the motherfucking storm. That's what.
Perfect. Yep, it's its own round.
Yep. Then we have Kravin Joe. He says he loves her. And then with that, we're going to include the whole Chess Peckwell storyline.
Perfect.
Then we have Mara's storyline, her falling on the stairs, her going into labor, having the baby, and then and almost dying. Bailey is still not doing surgery, but then she finally has to perform surgery because of Meredith. Then we have Owen and Kristen's, or Kristen's, Owen and Christina's storyline and kind of their demise, and Owen admitting that he wanted to adopt Ethan. Arizona cheating on Callie. Matthew's proposal to April. That's a goddamn thing. And then Jackson almost gets blown up in a bus, and April's response to that. And then Richard and electricity.
Not friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. I didn't have anything to add to that. Some, I think, like, end up weaving into each other a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll talk about that. So, first notes, what's yours?
Mine is, oh shit, Karev is running out the door, I imagine, to go deal with Chess Peckwell.
Yeah, same thing. I think my first note actually is just the quote when Alex says, you're safe here. And then I go, uh-oh, here goes Karev. Because I think, remembering back to watching this the first time when we didn't know what had happened, you assume Karev is going to go beat the shit out of Chess Peckwell.
Oh, yeah. I think I honestly had a line about like beating the shit out of him, but I was like, I'm just going to change that to go deal with Chess Peckwell.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we maybe just like talk about their storyline? Just
sure.
Because it starts with that.
I just have a quick question for you, and I should have asked you before we started talking about this, but how do you do your notes when they're already color-coded? Do you just unhighlight them?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I would like everyone to know that in our show notes, you won't see this part because I get rid of the highlights before I post them to Patreon, but I highlight mine to color code them. And yes, Brie, when I'm done with them, I either unhighlight them or I just like go down, because then you know like you already did that color. So it doesn't really matter.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think I'm going to leave mine highlighted and just like go in order and look at all the red ones right now.
Okay. Okay. I'll do the same thing. We'll see how
this
works.
It's going to be so helpful. Your mind is going to be blown.
Yeah. I pulled an Abby this time around
also,
because there were so many rounds.
If you're familiar with, well, it's not even the Enneagram because Brie does have a one wing, but I color code mine in the lightest color. So when I highlight it, I can still read it and I go in rainbow order. Brie, I found out, because she chose the colors this week. She was highlighting at least one of them in terms to like the mood of it. So Christina and Owen's demise is highlighted gray because that is sad.
Yeah, I just think it makes the most sense to color code to like the emotion of the storyline.
I think you should have made Richard and electricity then like yellow.
I should have, but I had already used it on I used it on Matthew's proposal to April because that was shocking to me. So it's like highlighter yellow.
It gets better. Okay, wow. Oh, that's great. Okay, so Alex and Joe. Okay, and Chess Peckwell, who half the time I write him as Chess Peckwell, the other half I write Jason Myers. I just don't know why I alternate. So the first thing we see then after Karev leaves, after like tucking Joe into his bed, is he like taps Derek on the shoulder during a meeting and was like, I need you, and brings him in. And Jason is injured as fuck.
He's fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like in the head, he's not responsive. He's not alive to the world, except he is. And Derek asks what happened, and Karev just kind of like avoids the answer and just says, just fix him.
Yes. I love how like word gets out to like Meredith too. And I love how she goes and tells Christina, like, you need to come with me. And Christina is like dealing with Paul, Ethan's dad. And she's like, no. And then Meredith says, it's Alex. And the way like Christina looks at her, she doesn't even question Meredith. She just like comes running. I was like, oh, they're all such good friends. I love that.
I know. I love that moment too. I just think that their friendship is really special. And I just think all of this too, like how we're set up to believe that Karev beat him up, is also like how Christina is and Meredith are thinking what happened, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially when Mare's like, this is not his friend to Derek. And just to note that Alex had said to Derek, make sure he doesn't die.
Right.
And so it's weird too, because when he's trying to talk to Christina and Meredith and be like, I didn't do it, he's not being very convincing. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, because he's hiding it for Joe.
Right, exactly. Like, and it's very clear, like, as the storyline plays out and we actually figure out what happens, you realize, like, Karev is just trying to protect Joe, which is really, really sweet. Like, he would rather take the fall than have Joe take the fall, you know?
Right. And the only reason we end up finding out it's Joe is because when Christina and Meredith are in there, Joe comes in and is like, it was me. It wasn't Alex. And I love, too, how immediately after that whole scene in the stairwell, Meredith runs after Joe and says, I like you, but I love Alex. And she says, I don't know if he's dumb enough to take the fall for you, but he just might be. And Joe says, like, I won't let that happen. And she's like, will you? Like, do you, like, would you really? Like, you know, and so I just think it's, I like that Meredith understands who Alex is and is kind of, like, warning her. Like, this is someone who will put himself on the line for you.
Yes. Yep. Should we go to when Jason wakes up? Or am I missing a part of
it? Right before that, there's that speech where Alex is talking, or Meredith goes up to Alex and says something like, maybe Joe's type of crazy fits your crazy. Don't give up on her just yet. And then she's like, we didn't give up on you. And I think that's really important too, because Alex is so concerned that, you know, he thought Joe was normal and like she just beat the shit out of this guy. And like, she's not totally normal. And I like how Meredith is like saying like, just because like this happened, like you're not kind of nuts too. And we still love you. Like that doesn't mean you shouldn't try for this. So
yeah.
I think that's like important because obviously he does. He goes for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Peckwell, he wakes up.
He wakes up and he wants to talk to the cops.
Yes.
And then Karev decides to go and talk with him. And we can talk about that. He kind of ends up blackmailing him, which Derek says to him. And Karev says it wasn't blackmail, it was just a threat. And I was like, is that any better? Like,
yeah, I also didn't understand, like, well, Alex was using the fact that he knows people and is friends with people who own the hospital.
So they'll fire him, I guess.
Right, if he doesn't leave, pretty much. Oh, because they'll all know that he hit Joe, and that's, like, the only thing that will matter. I did like how the guy was like, what was I supposed to do? She hit me. And I liked that he just said, you take it. Like, you don't hit back. Granted, I wish I could see it all go down, because, like, Joe says, though, that she pushed him, and then he hit his head on the fireplace. So it wasn't like she, like, bashed his head with something, but
well, and also Joe says, and none of this matters, like Joe has a shiner, you know, like he hit Joe. But Joe does say, I think Chess Peckwell is lying, because Karev ends up getting mad at Joe, like, what the fuck were you thinking? And she was like, the last time someone grabbed me like that, I had told myself I'd never let that happen again. So I think Chess Peckwell came at her first. She tried to hit him or hit him off of her, and then he hit her, and then she pushed him. Like, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, she obviously didn't intend for him to, like, get a brain injury.
No.
It's just that, yeah, it's, I think it's just, like, I like how this is the beginning of us knowing more about Joe, and, like, this was her, we knew she, like, was in foster care and all these things, but this is the first time that we knew that she's also been in an abusive relationship prior.
Right. Which ends up being a huge part of her storyline.
Totally. And I just didn't understand why Derek was, like, so angry. I mean, I guess that plot didn't go anywhere.
It really didn't. That was, I definitely don't think, like, they wrote this storyline to get Chess Peckwell out of the picture. Like, you know.
Right. I think they wrote this storyline to get to for us to learn about Joe's past.
Exactly. That's what I think.
But does
so
Jason
too.
Go away? Does he?
I believe so. I don't remember seeing him again.
Yeah, I don't either. So after the threat there, and in that confrontation that Bree was just talking about, where Karev yells at Joe and says, I like tried to write down all of it and I have parts. Do you have it too?
No, I don't. So okay. I want to hear it.
He says, you are an idiot. You say that you work so hard to change, but then you do this. You got to grow up. And or he's like, if you don't want to be a lowlife anymore, you got to grow up and stop acting like one. And then she says that thing, the last time someone grabbed me like that, I promised no one would ever do that again. And then she says, so I am sorry, but not everyone's like you. Not everyone is good. And now you think I'm horrible too. And then Alex like pauses and he says, no. And he says, if you hadn't gotten him first, I probably would have killed that guy. And she says, why would you do that for me? And he just says, shut up. Why wouldn't I? And then a tree falls through their window.
Yeah, that was crazy as hell. I was like, what?
Why did that have to happen?
A tree just came through the window.
Like, why was that necessary? To get them back at the hospital?
I guess. I also think, too, because, like, I think we wanted in that moment, it was just building to the final moment of them together. Like, we wanted Karev to tell Joe he loves her in that moment. And then a fucking tree comes through the window.
It was very, like, in a Christmas story. Or, no, not a Christmas story. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, when the tree goes through the window. It's literally that scene. It's like they stole it.
And but and then the way the rain was hitting them, it was like there was a goddamn sprinkler on them.
Yes. And their faces are all... At first, I thought the tree hits Joe. Yeah. Like, I was really just scared that she gets injured or, like, impaled. I couldn't remember how this all went, but she was fine.
Yeah.
So then in the second episode, because that's how, like, the first one ends... there's another mention, and we'll talk about Arizona in a bit, but Arizona and Karev are in that closet when they're working at in the NICU. And to make Karev, or to make Arizona feel better, he says, I'm in love with that intern out there and I won't tell her because I love something about, like, I always love all these crazy women and they were all fine before they met me. And now they're not. And then he says to Arizona, you're not the worst person in this closet. He's like so afraid that by him loving her, she's going to get worse. Like, he's just going to make her life worse. It's just so sad.
Just right before that, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have to do. They're Joe and Karev in the NICU, like with Arizona.
Yep. Oh,
and at one point, Arizona comes up and she's like, don't turn around. Like, keep smiling.
Oh my, I love this.
And Karev's fake smile is so bad. It's like, he does not know how to, like, you know, Joe has a very, like, cheery smile on her face. And Karev's like, it's like.
It's so funny. And the way he, like, drops it, but then he, like, does it again. I loved it.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
That's perfect. It was one of my favorite scenes. They had to find a way to have, like, some humor in it, you know?
Yeah. And then, like, then there's not, like, much more going on with them except they're working in the NICU. Joe does a really good job, like, helping teach parents how to, like, intubate or manually, like,
their babies. I love that scene. He, like, looks at her with such, like, emotion.
Yeah, like... really proud of her, but also, like, really in love with her.
Yeah, it's like a mix of I'm your teacher and you're doing an amazing job, and also I fucking want to love
you.
And fuck you. Yeah. So, it was great. Okay, so then also just in regards to that teaching moment, Arizona says to Alex, if you're going to take credit for them going crazy, you should also take credit for making them great. Mm. And comments on, like, how well she did. And I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah.
I really love their last scene together.
Yeah, speak on it.
Okay, so, well, first, they, like, it's like they make light of it when Alex says to her, you think the tree ruined my couch, which is a great reminder to the beginning of the season when she was, when they became friends and she's used her money to buy him a couch, or his money that she won. So I love that. I feel like if I had watched this show and not been doing a podcast about it, I wouldn't have gathered that that comment refers back to when they first became friends.
Yeah.
And then Joe gives this speech and says, like, she feels that she messes up everything good in her life. Like I don't want to don't say this because I mess everything up, which they're just, like, the same. Like, they both have that opinion. And then Alex says, I love you. And then they make out. Mm-hmm. And my note goes, yay, steamy. Can you even imagine the tension? Like, finally making out with this person that you have been, like, such close friends with, and, like, all this has happened. It, like, got me, it felt as exciting to me as, like, early Mare Dare. I don't know why.
I felt the same way when he, well, and not only does he just, like, kiss her, but he says he loves her.
Right.
Which I think is just, like, I was like, wow, 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 okay, wow. And then he goes and they just, like, jump on each other and.
Yeah. And this is, like, I feel like this is a prime of Justin Chambers' like looks too. Mm-hmm. He's like not too much of a baby face, but not too much of like an older guy. Mm-hmm. He's like in this in between, and he was just being such a good friend this episode. Granted, again, if she hadn't beat up Jason, I honestly think he would have killed him. So I'm really glad that like she did it and not him.
Well, because he even says that to, who does he say that to?
To her. He says, if it wasn't you, I would have killed him.
Yeah.
Which like we'll find out in a few seasons that like that's something that he can do if he's not careful, you know? And so I really love that moment. It made me happy.
Yeah, totally agree. 10 out of 10 on that storyline.
10 out of 10, for sure. Okay, which one should we do next?
Do you want to talk about Arizona since we were talking about the NICU and stuff?
Yeah, how about we talked about a happy one? Now let's talk about a sad one.
Yeah, so one of my first notes was Arizona is being such a flirt.
Yeah, they both are.
I can't remember her name.
Boswell?
Yes.
Dr. Boswell.
Yeah.
I don't know what her first name is.
I can't remember either. I want to say Rachel, but it's not Rachel.
Yeah, but they're both working together on that child with the brain outside of its face.
Right. And they're clearly like, yeah, it's not just Arizona flirting. Like it's back and forth. Like, and so then the surgery goes really well. And Arizona asks like if there's anything else that she can do. And Dr. Boswell is like, you can show me an on-call room.
Right.
Like Arizona's kind of like, wait, you know what? Because everyone knows what happens in an on-call room in the land of Grey's Anatomy. And she's like, I like to stay nearby after like a patient, after like surgery. And so, you know, get some rest or whatever. And Arizona's like, oh, right. Of course. So they go into the on-call room and it's so much because like, it's so awkward with them trying to say goodbye to each other. And like Arizona puts her hand out to like shake it. And then like, then the lights go out because of the storm, and then all of a sudden they are kissing, and then the lights come back on, and Arizona's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this because it's like
snapped out of it.
Yeah, because it's not in like the pitch black anymore. And this part made me really mad. Dr. Boswell, or whatever her name is, says, you're allowed to lose a little bit of control to Arizona. And I said, but not really, because she's married.
Right.
You know, like, I think, yes, Arizona is allowed to lose a little bit of control, but I don't think in regards to cheating on Callie.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think she's just, like, she just wants Arizona, and she's just, like, saying whatever works. I think ultimately Arizona has to decide if she's, like, allowed to, which obviously, like, she made that choice and now has to, like, sit with it, but it's interesting because there are a few comments that Dr. Boswell makes to her before they make out. And like one is when she's in surgery with Jackson and them, she talks about how impressed she is by they call them the Sloan 7 or something. Like I forget what they call it. I wrote Sloan 7, but that's not it. But it's like the 7 people on the plane crash. The people that bought the hospital. And she like says this whole thing about how like, that was very brave of you. I could never have done that. Mm-hmm. And then later, there's during Matthew's proposal, one of the lines Matthew said is, when I saw you stand here for the first time, I felt a shock. And mm-hmm. Arizona and Dr. Boswell make eye contact mm-hmm. during that. And then giving her permission to lose control. I feel like it's like everything that she just needs to hear right now. Like Callie is... you know, her reaction with the plane crash and what they did is like, not, wow, like that's so impressive. You know, like it's just a different attitude. And I think having this like stranger who didn't cut off her leg, like say all these things to her and give her permission, even though it's not her right place to give her permission, just like set it off, you know?
No, I totally agree. I think everything you say is spot on. I just think... You still don't think you're allowed to. I mean, you are allowed to. You're allowed to do whatever you want. But it's clearly like once you get to the end of this episode, like to me, it's like it's not even necessarily about the act of like cheating necessarily. It's so much deeper with Callie.
Oh, you know,
what Arizona is experiencing and her anger towards Callie. So, to me, it's like, it's not even about, yes, it's very, I think it's very hurtful and terrible for Callie to have to go through being cheated on. But like, there's more. Yeah, which often, I think is oftentimes it, in regards to cheating. Like, it's not usually just about sexual attraction to someone else. There's totally. Other stuff going on, so.
Totally, and I liked the way they filmed it with, like, when the lights went out, they kissed, and then as soon as they came on, you know, like, how she was like, I can't do, like, it, like, yes. snapped. And, like, once the lights were off, it was okay, because it was, like, in the dark and whatever, and then I just thought it was really cool how they, like, did that.
Totally agree.
And then in the second episode, it, like, starts with them, like, putting their clothes back on. We also see a scene where Callie mentions...
Yes.
To April, who has a wedding ring now, like, that she pins her wedding ring to her scrubs because that way it's with her, but she's not wearing it, which obviously is an important thing right there.
Yeah, and, which I also put a note there that Addison did that, too.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm. Addison would... her engagement ring and her wedding ring, she would, when she scrubbed in for surgery, she would pin to her scrubs.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And then there's throughout this whole episode. So in the beginning, before the NICU starts to like go down, Callie's asking where Arizona is. She can't find her. I just loved that when Arizona says, when she's finally in the NICU, she says, the makers of tiny humans get very spooked. If we can't let them get spooked or they will mutiny and we will be outnumbered. Yeah. And initially too, like Dr. Boswell wants to help and Arizona's like, absolutely not. And she ends up like coming in and Karev is like, yeah, we need your help. Like all hands on deck. And so not only did she like cheat on her, but then she has to work with her and like, she can't really be like, no, because they actually need the help.
Right. So Arizona ends up telling Karev that she cheated on Callie, which I love that Karev doesn't even really respond to that.
Right, right.
He's just like, hey, I'm worse because of this whole thing. And it's just like, it's very clear, like, you are dealing with some shit and we're in a crisis right now with this storm. So, like, you needed to tell someone, like, I'm in this closet. It's fine that you told me. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the kind of person Karev is, I think. Like, because people have told him secrets before, I feel like, and he just kind of, like, doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Also, like, this secret doesn't affect him. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I just loved how he stood there. But, yeah, how she just spits it out. Like, she cannot even keep it in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's, like, such warning to me that, like, it's going to come out. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't going to be, like, she cheated on her and then it stays a secret for a very long time.
Oh, no.
In fact,
it comes out that evening.
Yeah, which, oh, my God. So, first of all, when Callie finds her, she goes into the NICU once the lights come back on and sees that Dr. Boswell's scrub top has Arizona's ring or her rings on it because, obviously, they put on the wrong shirts. And I said, wow, Dr. Boswell came up with that story so fucking fast. Like, she was just like, oh, yeah, I got vomited on. She must have, like, it was so smooth that I almost was like, oh, does she, like, not catch this? But then Callie fucking knows.
Oh, yeah. It was so clear that, like, Callie knows. And honestly, I think it was more about how Arizona responded and looked at Callie than the other dog. Like, I think if Arizona played it off cool, maybe Callie would have been like, that's really weird. But maybe, but not even, because, like, honestly, I think they've been very flirty this whole time. And I don't know. I think when you know sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that last, do you want to talk about that last scene?
Sure. I wrote down some of the stuff they say, but they're in the, like, room with the cots where they're going to, like, sleep that night or whatever. And after, like, Callie just being like, how could you do this? I thought we worked through this. Arizona says, you weren't on the plane, Callie. Oh, yeah, because Callie's like, we got through this and the plane and Mark and the leg. And then she says, you weren't there and you keep acting like you were. She says something else. And then she ends up saying, stick out your leg and I will grab a bone saw. We will even out the score.
Yeah, and then, like, breaks down crying.
Yeah, and I wrote, oh, shit. And then Callie says, it always comes back to the leg. And then... Arizona says, you didn't lose anything. And she says, apparently I lost you.
Yeah, that line, she said, you didn't lose anything. I did. Arizona said that. And it's so clear that, I mean, Callie clearly lost things too. Like, Callie lost Mark. Callie is losing her marriage right now. But they're just two completely different experiences. And it just shows how, you know, how Arizona is still coping with losing her leg and still mad at Callie, you know, and hasn't forgiven her. And it all comes out in that big burst in that scene of like, I'll chop off your leg. You didn't lose anything. This is my thing. You have nothing to do with it. It's, I'm not saying it's like wrong or bad because like that's how Arizona is processing. It's just, it's crazy to watch. It's, I think it's incredible acting.
Yeah. And it's just so much too, though, of like just not dealing with the grief of what happened on that plane crash, you know, like they just haven't, it hasn't been solved yet. And like, it all comes back to that. It's just, yeah, it was intense. It was a really big fight. It made me sad.
Yeah. I think you make a good point though about not dealing. Well, you know, I don't think necessarily Arizona is dealing with the grief. And I also kind of on the flip side, like maybe Callie isn't completely allowing Arizona to deal with the grief in the way that she may need to. You know, like there's two sides of it. And I think Callie has been extremely gentle for the most part with Arizona and understanding. But there has been a lot of like, all right, it's time to move forward, time to move forward. And I don't think Arizona is quite ready to do that and forgive.
I don't think so either. And also remind me, is this like the beginning of their downfall?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they go into like couples therapy next. Well, because remember Callie, it dates Penny when like Derek dies. You know, so like, I think it's like.
So there's season 9, then Derek dies in season 10, but she probably starts to date Penny at the end of season 10.
Yeah, 10.
Like, because Derek dies halfway through, remember? It's not like at the end.
Right.
So, yeah, I bet. And then it's the custody battle, and then she's gone.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, I think the custody battle is before Penny.
Oh, it is? I thought it's because she wants to take Sophia to New York with Penny and her. And then she loses the custody battle.
Oh, maybe you're right. Wow. So, I don't know. Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy. Okay. So I am going to unhighlight the ones that we've done on this. Okay. Let's
talk. We've only made it through two.
I know. I feel like the Bailey and Meredith thing go together.
Mm-hmm.
Like they end up coming together. So do you want to just try to knock that one out? That's a big one, I feel like.
Sure. So
I really would like to end with Matthew because it's so fucking funny to me.
Okay, great.
And by that, I mean Jackson too. So Meredith, should we find out right in the beginning? I just want to say that she's 3 weeks away from her due date. That's like said by Derek. He's like, you are 3 weeks away from your due date.
Right. I have that note too. And she's really struggling with like, she doesn't want to leave this surgery that might potentially be dangerous because she's pregnant. She doesn't want to really take it easy, but you know, everyone around her is kind of like, you're pregnant, you're due very soon. You need to be careful. You need to be like aware of what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And then she fucking falls down the stairs.
That was wild. I have a few things really fast before she falls down the stairs. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you say. I just want to say that I love that they brought up the pink mist episode because they're doing this thing where they like are doing sparks and like there's oxygen and it could blow up. And Mare's like, I've been there before. It didn't end well.
Right.
And then I liked the phrase too, when they say that like Mare points to Callie and she's like, she has a kid. And they're like, and I think it's Owen that says she didn't bring her kid to the OR today, which I just liked how that was described. Anyways, yes, back to her falling. Fucking terrible.
Yeah. I honestly think that was one of the most horrible things I've ever seen. Like, it made me want to cry the way the look on her face. Yeah. And like the whole, I don't, just the fear that you would feel. And like, it was just such a quick thing. Like, why am I not in that goddamn surgery? Why didn't they call me back up? And just to like twist and a slip of the foot, like, oh, and she hit her stomach. It was just so, and the music in the background, everything about that scene was so cringy and so horrible. You just felt so bad for Meredith. Yeah,
she full face cries like Carrie Matheson, which like it was such a good, it was such good acting. And also, yeah, I literally wrote, oh fuck. Like it was really hard to watch. And she says like, help me, you know, like to no one, which is just so hard. It was weird how quickly then she was like already, someone found her. Like at first I thought she was going to be stuck in there, but clearly someone found her right away, which is good.
Yeah. Which Derek is in surgery because like on a cross storyline, Christina found something on Paul's scan, who's Ethan's dad. And so they're doing this surgery. Derek ends up hearing that Meredith had a fall. She's okay, but like get to her like as soon as you can or whatever. And so Derek lets, Brooks is like, I can finish the surgery. Like, and we got to remember, Brooks is like, she's an intern. And also she's like just recently kind of started to be on neuro with Derek. And so for him to let her do that, it's obvious like how scared Derek was. So he lets Brooks finish the surgery. And then they go and they're with Connie in the OB, whatever. She's getting an ultrasound done. And they're showing that nothing happened. There was no like tear in the placenta. Like the baby looked fine. Heartbeat, everything was fine. But she said, like, you need to slow down. And one of my favorite lines is Meredith said, if I was safely in that exploding OR where I should have been, which is
right, then I would have been fine.
So classic Meredith, I feel like.
It absolutely is. I also like how they built the confidence in Brooks earlier in the episode when Derek says to her, like, I like you because you're weird and it, or why do you keep having me talk? He's like, because you're weird and it bugs me. And he says that he thinks her weirdness is hiding her confidence and that like she should just be confident because she's very good at neuro. And so like her, she uses that advice when literally she like walks through what she would do in the surgery to Derek so that he knows that it's like okay to leave her. I thought that was a great little like moment. And it's so funny. For some reason, I thought she dies in this episode. So one of my notes says, Brooks is showing major growth in these episodes working with Derek right before they kill her. Does she not die?
No, I think she dies at the beginning of next season. She goes to find Richard and I think she gets electrocuted.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I'm not far from the truth.
No,
but
no.
Yeah, truly. I mean, they built her confidence and she's getting... I mean, she's still her weird self, but I feel like she's really like shining and finding her space, you know?
Yeah.
Which, of course. And I love how concerned Karev and Christina are about Mare when after she's been seen with Connie, they're like in the hallway and they're like, did they check this? Is this okay? You know, like they just are really concerned about the baby and her.
And I love too, they're like, well, why did you fall? Is it because you're dizzy? And she was like, it's because my center of gravity. You know, like, no, I'm not dizzy. And so everyone's just kind of like telling Meredith, like, you need to slow down. And so then the big storm is coming in. And so they're all going to stay the night at the hospital. And Meredith's like, Derek is like, well, we're going to stay in the hospital, like, because we don't want you to get stuck at home in case you go into labor. And Meredith is like, no, we're staying in the hospital because they need us as doctors. Like, she's still...
Yeah, she can't get it in her head.
But then... That she needs to slow down. But then at that moment, her water breaks and she goes into labor. And I said, I am crying because the way that Meredith and Derek looked at each other, I was like, this is so sweet.
Derek looks at her and says, okay. And like smiles. And oh, this is peak Derek. Mm-hmm. Derek as a dad is peak Derek. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a conversation. Mare comes up to Owen and says that this is before Owen asks her about like the adoption question. But she says, you kicked me out of the OR and because I'm pregnant and it's completely unacceptable. And then she says, thank you.
Yeah, I like that.
So then the second episode starts. And I would like to note that it begins with a slow version of the Mare Dare music. It's like a much slower pace, but it is definitely that playing in the background. And I thought it was such an ominous monologue when she says like the perfect storm or whatever. And when bad things like all happen at once. And she says, like, who knew it would happen to me? So like right away going in, you know, something is going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, my first note was, oh no, Christina and Derek are running. This is not good. And then this monologue is not good. Like them right. running in slow-mo with Meredith saying like the perfect storm of someone dying in surgery. You're like, okay, well, clearly this is not great. So, and then it says 5 hours earlier. So
Yes.
One of my favorite lines. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Favorite lines is Christina shows up, Meredith in labor. Yes. And she's like, okay, what are we doing? Like, we haven't talked about the birth plan. And she says, I can't bully people unless I know what to bully people about. Which is
it's perfect.
Very Christina.
Well, and then we learn that she has to have a C-section because the baby's like face first. And which I didn't even think about this. It would like hyperextend their neck if the baby were born that way. And I love how when they're trying to like convince to do a C-section, but in the dark, Meredith at first is like, absolutely not. And then Christina's like, a moron could do a C. And she like looks at Connie and she's like, I'm sorry, you know, like whatever. But so she's going to get the C-section and Derek is there at first. And then I like that he points to Mare and he's like, we're having a C-section in the dark. And she's like, we're having a C-section in the dark.
At first I will say like they were really pushing against that. And then Connie had to go full on like, here are your two options. Like you're going to die or I'm going to do this C-section. They're like, okay, we're having a C-section in the dark. So.
Yep, it was perfect. And so how Brooks and Ross end up being in there is Christina has to leave to go do that surgery. Or what is she leaving for?
Yes, there is a surgery that Richard called her in on.
Right, the one. Yes. So, and so she tells Happy, aka Ross, to stay next to Meredith. And then there's Mare Dare music again. The baby comes out. At first is not crying. And then does cry and Derek says he's perfect. I just wrote in all caps, give him to Mare.
Yeah.
She never gets to hold him or even, you know, be on him. But then something's wrong and Meredith tells Derek to go with him and Derek tells Brooks and Shane not to leave Meredith's side. So now instead of Christina and Derek, we have Shane and Brooks.
Yes.
With Meredith in the fucking dark.
And, So they take the baby to the NICU and then Connie, someone comes in to grab Connie. There's like a placental abrasion or something or other with a different patient. And Connie's like, I have your uterus stitched up, Meredith. Like, would you be comfortable having someone else? And Shane and Brooks are like, I'll do it. And they're like, everything's fine. They know how to do this. The hard stuff's over. So then we don't even have Connie anymore. Connie leaves. And we're left with two interns stitching up Meredith, which I kind of find interesting. Like, Meredith owns the hospital. I feel like Connie would stay till the end, you know? I don't know.
It's also crazy to me how quickly that bleed begins.
Yeah.
Like, that like Connie couldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
But it was just so crazy, like, how... Also, you would have thought... Well, I guess no, Connie did know Meredith had fallen.
Right.
Everything had seemed to be checked out. But yeah, how Meredith just like quickly starts going like, I'm in DIC. I had a fall. I might have injured something. And then he's like, wouldn't you have known? She's like, I've been in labor. Like,
right.
And then Shane has to open her back up. And the fucking single tear that rolls down Meredith's eye is so good because you know that she knows that she might not make it through this. Like to be awake while that's happening is insane.
Yeah. So she's having to teach Shane how to do this surgery on her. And there are like Jumanji drums, but like a twist of horror music behind them too. It's like a different type of Jumanji drum. And she's saying she can't bleed out. Like, Shane, you cannot let me bleed out. At the same time, over in the NICU, Derek is holding his baby saying, everything's going to be just fine. And I said, no, Derek, everything is not going to be just fine because your wife is bleeding out in the other room. We find out it's her spleen. And then she's trying to give Shane all this information and she's crying and she's like, you have to promise me these things, and he won't. And she said, no, you have to, because I'm going to lose consciousness. Like, it's so messed up that she even knows she's like about to pass out.
Yeah. And she says, like, I do not want to be a vegetable. Do you understand me? Tell Derek, I know the baby's name. It's dot, dot, dot.
And then nothing. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know the baby's name.
Yep. And so I also, so after that, Christina ends up like hearing that something is, well, let's talk about Bailey maybe real quick, and then we'll come together and meet where this happens.
Yeah. So in the very,
can we do that?
Yeah. So in the very beginning of the episode, we find out that Bailey thinks she's going to kill anyone she touches.
Yes. Which is really sad.
Yeah. So that's like why she's not going into the ORs.
Right. And it's why, like, in the previous episode, she is doing printing the charts out. And we also, Ben is still there. He's like doing anesthesiology to, like, in hopes that if he's in the room with Bailey, it'll help. And Richard kind of like threatens Bailey, because when she wouldn't go in the OR when he asked. And he uses this method with her that he thinks that you just have to rip off the Band-Aid and like yell at her and that will help, which obviously is not the right method. And she does try to operate at that one time. And yeah, like you said, she thinks that everyone that she'll touches will die. And she says, like, literally, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And she also ends up bringing blood to the surgeries, just trying to do what she can to help. And so she is told that Brooks comes into the room where Bailey and Murphy are trying to get the pain meds out of this machine because there's no power, which she goes ape shit on with this like pole thing and busts it open, which is amazing. And she's like breathing heavy. And this is like after Brooks was like, it's gray on the table. Like, we need your help. And then she goes.
Right. Because I think she says, like, we need your help. I don't remember how it's exactly said, but like pretty much Bailey is like, I'm not doing surgery or whatever. And then it's like, well, it's gray and there's no other choice.
Right. She's like, gray can handle it.
You're and then, right. That's what happened. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, no, gray's the one on the table.
Yes.
Oh, that's literally my next note as I just read that. Oh.
And then Bailey, when she gets in the dark ass OR room with Meredith on the table and Shane is like freaking out, she puts on two sets of gloves, which is also just like really sad that she's still like really scared.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, but when Bailey steps up, Boki was also in there with Mare.
I did. Yeah. I did notice that. Boki's there for everything.
Yeah.
So then Christina learns that Bailey is operating on Mare and that things did not go as planned. And she runs into the room where Derek, was Derek operating? I can't remember.
And, no, was he like, with the baby?
Oh, no, he's with the baby. He's with the baby, yeah. And she makes eye contact with him. And like he just knows that something has gone wrong. And there's that scene where they're running. I love the visual of Derek and Christina sitting together in the dark. And Derek is talking about the baby and he just says, he's going to be fine. And Christina goes, he's going to be great. And then you can tell he's worrying about Mare. And Christina says, Meredith Grey has survived a bomb, a drowning, a gunman, and a plane crash, and she is still here. She's going to die when she's like 90. Today, she's going to be fine. She has to be. She's our person.
Yeah.
And then Derek, she rubs his back.
I know. She also says she's going to die when she's like 90, like warm and old in her bed. And I'm like, is that a reference to Titanic?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. Like, I feel like that is what Jack says. Like, you're going to die an old, old lady, like, warm in your bed. That's...
Oh, I thought you meant the boat. Like, the boat was going to die warm in its bed. And I was like, well, it sure didn't.
The boat. Cold. The boat has a bed? I had no idea.
The bottom of the fucking sea. It could be. I don't know that I've seen Titanic enough to know the exact words.
Oh, okay. Neither have I.
Were you listening to My Heart Will Go On the other day and like crying? No, you were listening to the score.
I was listening to the Titanic score and I was getting very misty-eyed. Yes. And
I have that on CD-ROM. Is that weird?
I do too. Yeah. So this is really like random side note. Susan and I used to dance to the part, you know, like do like when like the scary music comes on, and yeah. we used to like freeze. This is so messed up. We were in like second grade. We used to like freeze. And we were like, we died and we're frozen in the water, but we're children that just woke up from a nightmare.
Incredible.
What was the matter with us?
I don't know. I like it though.
Anyway, Meredith turns out she's fine.
Yep. And Bailey can't really get it out. She like tries to say that she's okay, but she starts crying. And then they run in there and Mare's fine. And then Derek hugs and kisses Bailey, which I love Derek Bailey moments. They're in my top five. I don't know. They're in my top things.
Yeah.
And then we learn that Meredith is naming the baby Bailey.
Which is really sweet. I think it's very, I want to point out too, that like this is after Christina has like talked to Owen, which we'll get to that part. But she walks up and like it's Zola, Derek, Bailey, like baby Bailey and Mare. And Christina like looks into the room and she decides not to go in. And right. I think that's very interesting because I know that Meredith and Christina like struggle with their relationship next season. So I think that's kind of setting up for like Meredith is moving on with like a certain part of her life and Christina is not heading in that direction. So there's already like this like divide starting, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. It's like they're starting it now, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
Also, do you think that that's the name that she had in her mind before she went under?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't know. I would think so.
I just feel like Meredith like loves Bailey.
So funny because then, you know, like in current Grays, Bailey got so pissed at her.
Well, but then I think she ends up bringing it up to Bailey. Like, I named my son after you. Like,
don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right.
Okay. So.
Also on the Bailey storyline, she's talking after she does the surgery on Ben or on Meredith, she sees Ben and she's like, I need to find Richard. I told him he was a drunk. I turned my back on him, whatever. I need to talk to him. Like, she wants to forgive him. And,
I mean, we can pretty much talk about the Richard thing because it's very short.
You'd like
short.
To talk about Richard and electricity right
it's
now?
It's very short. Richard decides.
Why don't you take it away?
Richard decides, like, well, first he's in surgery and he's like, Frank, goddamn it. What if there's air in the generator or something?
Right.
And you
right.
didn't fix this a long time ago. Fucking fix it, Frank, is pretty much what Richard says. And then after the surgery, Richard's like, I should check on Frank. I shouldn't have yelled at him. Like, I gotta go find him. Richard finds Frank, and I thought Frank had been electrocuted. He goes down to the basement, but I think maybe he had a heart attack. So he's like, you're gonna be okay, man.
They like right, because Richard was like smoking, and Frank wasn't. So yeah. I would think Frank wasn't electrocuted.
I think he just had a heart attack. Not just, but he had a heart attack down there. And then Frank ends up telling like, Richard, you're right, go deal with this generator thing. And then it ends with Richard literally smoking, laying on the ground in a pool of water. And that's yeah. Richard and electricity. So we don't know. We don't know.
My last note was in an Adele voice, Richard. Interesting that like Catherine wasn't in any of these episodes.
Well, she'll probably be in the next one because Richard and electricity.
Also, I just wanted to point out there was a comment Richard made earlier in the episode where he brings up the Syrian doctors when Christina does not want to operate in the dark. And he says, like, we just taught people how to do this. Like, basically, like, this is what we are trained for. Also, I thought it was interesting, just talking about the storm in general really fast, is like, it starts out with Owen saying that they're pushing, postponing, or canceling all elective surgeries. And I was like, oh, it's like COVID. but also, does a storm normally bring in casualties? Like, I guess a tornado and stuff, you think? But just like a storm, does that bring in more casualties?
Well, maybe. I mean, someone was like dealing with gutters during it. And
that's true. James Strickland.
You know, like trees going, like trees down or like car accidents if you're on the road driving.
Right.
And they're slick roads. Like, I think maybe. Also, let's just, can we quickly talk about the storm, the motherfucking storm? Because I just have a couple notes on it. They have, I find it interesting too, they have 3 days to prepare for the storm, but I'm pretty sure it ends up coming earlier than they think.
Yes, because then someone makes a comment.
Like, so then, the electricity is out, the power is out, and that is when they do the callback to the Syrian storyline. Then a bus flips over and is on fire, and I said this episode is very dramatic.
I've decided it's the Spice World bus. It flies over just like the Spice World bus does.
then I just want to point out, because I think this kind of has to do with the storm and the Syrian storyline, I feel like Richard is a really good teacher, and he tells Yang and encourages her during the surgery. She's like, I can't see anything. And he's like, you don't need to see anything. Everyone turn the lights out. Listen for it. You know what a healthy heart sounds like. And like, she's able to figure out it's ventricular and like where the bleed or whatever is coming from. And I was just like, wow, like he made Yang a better surgeon in that moment, you know?
Yeah. And I love that she names that, like she says that, you know, like when she thanks him, I thought that was a really beautiful, just a thing. It reminded me how she interacted with Dr. Thomas.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what's going on with the storm. In regards to like the NICU, they all have low batteries and they don't have any extra batteries because once again, I think they had 3 days to prepare and then the storm came much sooner than they had thought.
Yeah, that was frightening.
Yeah. So shit's just pretty much hitting the fan in the hospital.
Yep. Let's talk about Owen and Christina. So my first note about them is, oh God, Ethan is still here. So Owen, also in the elevator, is asking Meredith how she knew that Zola was the right kid to adopt. And he doesn't say at that time that he's talking about Ethan, but you just like know it. And Mare kind of looks at him and doesn't really give him an answer then.
I kind of said like that question about adoption is a weird one to ask Meredith because that's Christina's best friend. I was like, read the room, Owen. Like, go talk to someone else who's... Don't talk to Christina's best friend about this. I know it's for television, but I was like, ballsy, honestly, to ask that.
Right. It was a little... Well, he like kind of stops himself, but then he does it anyways. And this whole like episode, I feel like Christina is advocating... Well, at first she's like... we got to figure out something with Paul. Like he can't, like it's been this many days. Like the mom doesn't want him to be in pain anymore. And Owen thinks it's too soon, which like it ends up being the case that Owen is right. You know, like they find something, but I also feel like it's just so hard because Christina is taking all this so personally. Like she is trying to do the best thing for Paul because she knows how much the Ethan thing is affecting him. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like no matter what she does, like, it's not the right move, you know, with Owen.
Yeah.
They end up finding a clot also in Paul that they may have missed.
Right. And so ultimately, like, they do surgery and Paul wakes up. But this is after, like, Meredith ends up talking to Owen, right? And telling him, like... I just knew. I knew it was Zola. Like, when I saw her, I knew she was my daughter. Like, and Owen just keeps saying, like, he's going back and forth and he thinks it's, like, this huge commitment. I wrote, Owen, it is a huge commitment. Like, adopting a child is it's a lifelong commitment. But he just keeps, like, coming back to, like, you know, there's no one there for Ethan and I want to be there for him. And then very shortly after he says that, Paul wakes up.
Right. So. It's like in the middle of the conversation, Christina runs up. I like that Meredith describes with Zola. She says, one minute I looked at her and she was my daughter. And I thought that was really cute. And it's so interesting. So Paul wakes up, he sees Ethan with his dad and like everything is fine. And then he's so upset and he like yells at Christina that he wants them out of here ASAP. He wants to send them to Seattle Prez, which I was like, it's a motherfucking storm and you're going to send them in a helicopter?
I
did not understand that move. Like someone should have vetoed that. There has to be room for him in one bed there.
Yeah, like we got to get him out of here immediately. I'm like, and Christina was even like, wait, what? Why are we doing this? And then because of that, I think Christina realizes that, is it because of that she realizes he wanted to adopt him?
Yeah. Well, before that, Meredith and Owen are having a conversation, and Mare tells Christina that Owen was thinking about adopting and fostering Ethan. And Christina says, what am I supposed to do with that? And Meredith says, I don't think there's anything you can do, which I think is like the perfect advice, because I actually even liked when Mare talks to Owen, she's not telling him not to do it. Like, she's like, if this is what you're feeling, like, you can't deny that. And I think that's what she's kind of telling Christina, like, there's nothing you can do. This is why you guys divorced, you know?
Yeah. And I think Christina like feels that too. Can we go to the end scene with them? Because I don't, unless you have more notes before the end scene, because I have a quote of what Christina says.
No, I think we're going to talk about the same quote. So go for it.
Okay. So, and I don't know which part you have, but Christina asks Owen, like, do you know how much I love you? And then she says, I felt such joy today in that dark OR. I could hear the blood moving. I knew exactly what the heart muscle was thinking. And I realized after, I feel that way all of the time. I'm made for the ER, or I'm made for the OR. Even the boring procedures, I can feel pure joy, content. You feel, like, do you feel that with just me? And then she asks him, am I enough, Owen? Do you really believe I'll be enough? And he doesn't respond at first.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, Christina, no, when she like walks away. It's really honest, I feel like. And it's a great insight. Again, I feel like it's like setting us up for Christina's future, that like she feels complete peace in her career. Like she doesn't need anything more. And
I think about Dr. Thomas.
I know, exactly. I think about him too. And I also, there was a quote way early in the beginning of the second episode when Christina talks to Owen and is like, you want kids still. And she says to him, you don't think that one day, and he's like, no, I want you. And she's like, you don't think one day you're going to look at me one day and think about what I couldn't give to you?
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah. So I think.
And then he said something like, I don't remember what he says, but she's like, it's already been done. Like,
right.
And it's obvious they're breaking up. And I feel like it's already been, like, also this has already been talked about. They're already divorced. Like,
right, right.
And so it's so painful because it's like a second breakup after,
right,
you know. But I just loved her speech to him too. And it wasn't like, it wasn't mad or blaming him about anything. It was like, I am super joyful. Are you? Because I don't think. Like, and if you are, great, but, like, if you, like, I get to have what I want, you should be able to have what you want.
Yes, I agree. It was just sad. It's just sad. I feel like sometimes breakups that are, like, no one's mad at the other person are more sad because it's easier when you're mad, and it's harder when you still love that person, but you're not supposed to be together.
Yeah.
I would know because I'm still with the same guy I've been with for 12 years. But from what I've seen on television and books, that's what it seems really hard.
Yeah, I've been there. It is really hard.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the April Matthew Jackson triangle. There's a lot that is funny and a lot that is sad.
Yeah, so I was really confused at why Owen was keeping April out of surgery.
Same. I wrote, Owen tries to steal shish kebab case from April, and then Owen tries to kick her out again. And I was like, is he just angry and he's using this? Like, I did not remember that this happened.
I didn't either, and I literally feel like I never remember this storyline.
It feels like read the room, Matthew. Maybe not the best day to propose.
Yeah, I was like, good for April for standing up for herself to Owen and taking that surgery. And then I was like, wait, why is Owen treating April this way? And then I would like to hear your stream of notes and my stream of notes in regard to, do you want to go first or do you want?
Yeah. I said, in all caps, wait, what is happening? Why is there a musical? Like, I was like, is there a second musical episode I don't know about? And I go, oh yeah, the proposal. Oh God, this seems embarrassing. And then I said, her laugh is driving me crazy. His dancing is making me crazy. It's sad to watch Jackson. He's doing this just so he can have sex.
That's beautiful. Mine is.
What's yours?
What is happening? So similar.
Yeah.
Then I said, in all caps, oh, fuck God, it it is this thing. And then I said, I am so uncomfortable with this. I would hate this so much. And then quotes, they're everywhere. This was and is too much. It is too much. And then, yeah, Matthew, this is crazy. And then, well, that is nice that they are engaged. And then, oh, she looks at Jackson. That makes me want to cry.
Yes.
So many emotions.
It honestly, it was like the musical episode in one short, 30 second
just
swoop.
One short moment. Also, why did he do it to walk 500 miles? It was just,
it was so bad.
It was a 0 out of 10 for me.
Because honestly, like up until this point, like I really like Matthew and he seems like a genuine guy and like all these things. This makes me think he's cheesy as fuck and like I cannot handle him.
Also,
I would not want to hang out with him.
Also, how long have they even been dating? Like they just got back together after being in that fight because she lied about her virginity.
He did say that it was a little soon.
Yeah, he did admit that.
But his dancing kept
I think that's my note because Matthew said this might be crazy. And I wrote, yeah, Matthew, this is crazy.
Yeah, it is. That's why you wrote that. And I just like her laughter through it all. And like, who are all these people? And like, even Karev looked enjoyed by it. And I was like, he would hate this.
Yeah.
Like, Derek like puts his arm around Mare, you know, like.
Well, also just, before it happens, Callie's like, it's happening. I was like, what's happening? And then it like went into this.
It happened.
This had to have been around the time when people were getting proposed to this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When, I mean, and of all of the characters who get engaged in the show, this one does make sense that like April would love it and that Matthew would do it.
Yeah.
You know, like. It so fits them, but it is ridiculous. Also, when the guy first sat up and started singing, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I seriously was like, it felt so jarring.
it turns into the zombie show, The Walking Dead.
Yeah, especially, oh my God. Especially when right before that, she's like talking to Jackson. He's like, do you want me to talk to Owen for you? Like, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, he's not in on it. Like, Callie obviously is, and Owen was. Like, Jackson was not in on it.
Which also,
you know? And so,
which also made sense why, like, when Owen kicks her out of the surgery, like, Callie's like, nice, good job. I was like, why is Callie, like, doing this, you know?
Yes, right. So I think they made it obvious that Jackson didn't know about it. And so she says, yes, they're engaged. And there's really not, like, Matthew's in and out of the hospital because of the storm. And, he ends up being there again because his rig broke down and he had to walk there in the rain. And it's so weird. I have a much more appreciation of his job now that Jake is one of those. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Like Jake is, I guess he's not a paramedic yet, but yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah.
So anyways, then the bus thing, Spice World happens and the bus crashes. And Owen and Jackson are trying to get people out of the bus, which is on fire, which really, it's like there was like one person on the bus. And so, I mean, there was more, but like that's what the last person was that one woman and she couldn't find her daughter. And Jackson finds her, like they take the woman away and Jackson's not behind them. And April's like, where's Jackson? And they're like, oh, he's right behind us. And she's like, no, he's not. And she's screaming. And meanwhile, Jackson is like trying to get Evie or Evie out. He's like trying different tactics. He can't reach her. And then they're all screaming for him. And April tries to run after the bus. And Matthew stops her. And the bus blows up.
These are my notes. April runs at the bus. Oh, no. Where is Jackson? It blew up. Oh, God. Oh, there they are running. Oh, there he is walking with that little girl. He is fine. So much slow-mo. He walks right past April. April is not okay. Kepner, take a walk. That's my notes about it.
Yeah, because she runs into Jackson's room and is like, you idiot. You could have died. And Callie yells, Kepner, take a walk.
Yeah.
Which I loved. Also, she is sobbing. Like,
she is.
When she thinks that he blew up, it is like an insane... reaction. Not insane. I mean, it's just like a really emotional response. Also, he dislocated his shoulder. Did he do that because he had to dislocate his shoulder to reach her?
I have no idea.
I keep picturing the
blowback of the bus blowing up.
But then how did he get her out? Like, I keep picturing like he couldn't reach her. So now I'm like, all right, I'm going to dislocate my shoulder, grab onto my arm. How did he do it?
I have no idea.
And so,
this part.
So that, this part is so crazy. So this is after Jackson's getting treated. He's alone in a room. April comes in again and she looks so sad. Like she's a mess. And she just says, I want you, Jackson. I want you. I haven't been fair to you. I know. And I've really hurt you. But when that bus exploded and I thought you were gone, and he just keeps saying to her, like, you're married. You're engaged. Yeah. You're engaged. And then she says, unless you can give me a reason not to.
Whoa, right? Whoa.
So intense.
Yeah.
And we don't know what he says.
We don't, but we do know that she still plans a wedding with Matthew. So,
right, which clearly,
you shouldn't then. Like, even if Jackson denies you, which clearly I think he does, like the next episode or something, then you shouldn't be with Matthew either. Because,
right,
you're not. So I don't remember how that all happens. So it will be interesting to talk about it on the podcast next season about how they resolve Kepner saying that to Jackson. Like, does she take it back or?
Right. Like, how does this all go through? Yeah. I'm really interested to see how it all falls apart. So then it's next season finale that he runs away with her. Is it a season finale?
Yes, I think it is a season finale. So
God, we have a tension-filled season.
Oh, we really do. That's all the rounds. That's the whole story.
Yeah, and I don't have any random notes.
I don't either.
What are your thoughts on using the highlighted points?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was
really— Doesn't it make it easier to go through?
Yeah, it's a little extra work beforehand, but very effective during the recording of a podcast.
I love efficiency.
Wait, I do have one stray note, and it's, sweet fucking Jesus. I don't know what that is in regards to.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I really liked your point about how Christina saw Mare with the baby and it's like beginning the little bit of like Mare's life moving in one direction and Christina's not.
Yeah.
I think that's important because I'm going to guess at this point they knew it was Christina's last season.
I think so too. Yeah. So they're
making— fuck. We are at Christina's last season now.
Well, after we finish this episode, we are. Yeah. We're still in season 9. Yeah. I know. It's crazy. Right. Do you want to go back and forth with notes and trivia?
Sure. Let's do it. So for Readiness Is All, this episode's title originated from the song Readiness Is All, originally sung by Alias I.
The episode scored 8.97 million viewers.
At the end of the episode, Meredith goes into labor.
At one point, Derek says, you know weather, guys. They're wrong most of the time and they still keep their jobs. Ironically, the same can be said for Derek himself. It's been shown that he has less than 50% success rate. It should be said in his defense, though, that he is the go-to neurosurgeon for cases which are said to be inoperable. Thank you for that note.
Wow. Yeah, thanks. Goof. When April agrees to Matthew's proposal, she is wearing gloves immediately after the kiss. They kiss, and April is wearing the ring with no gloves. Well, maybe she fucking took it off.
She probably
put the ring on.
Yeah, Jesus. She wasn't going to put the ring over gloves.
I was wearing mittens when I was proposed to.
And did you, he put it over your mittens? No, you took them off.
And then magically, I hugged him, and the ring was on. And then you don't know what happened to the mitten.
Okay, perfect storm. This episode's title originated from the song Perfect Storm, originally sung by Evidence.
This episode scored 8.99 million viewers.
Interesting. More people tuned in for the second one than the first one.
Yeah.
Shonda Rhimes previously revealed on her Twitter page that she didn't consider the season 9 finale to be a catastrophe. However, she later tweeted that she had a big discussion about the season finale with the other Grey's Anatomy writers and that everything turned around.
That's weird.
Yeah.
This episode is the second part of a 2-part season finale, the first part being Readiness Is All.
On Twitter, the official hashtag the storm is coming, was introduced for this episode.
Hashtag winter is coming.
Yeah.
The way Meredith tells Shane how to perform the surgery is reminiscent of how Violet instructed Katie Kent on how to cut Lucas out of her womb.
Interesting.
Yikes.
The crew clap for Jessica Capshaw and Sarah Ramirez after they finish the screaming scene. Oh, yeah, see? Great acting.
Wow, it was, yeah. This episode marks the first appearance of Meredith and Derek's second child and first son, Derek Bailey Shepherd. What?
Wait. The first name's Derek?
This is so confusing. It's kind of like how Tuck's real name isn't Tuck.
Yeah.
I don't get it. They are bad with names on this show.
Interesting.
Catherine Fox Award. I agree 100% with what you said.
I said Bailey. I said for facing her fears and saving Mare's life, but I said, but also Ross did too, but I think Bailey.
Yeah, I think so too. I think she took big steps forward and obviously she will continue in the next season, but I mean, she saved our leading lady's life.
So. Yeah. Okay, so rating the episode, I wanted to say this. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 scalpels. What's interesting is in a like a bonus episode, I think we rated the finales, and I believe we rated this one pretty low. But in rewatching it, I was really here for it.
Yeah, it was really good. I forgot how much I loved the Joe Karev things. Like, those really, like, are hard for me to remember. And so watching that again felt very exciting. Yeah, and the, like, drama with Mare, that was great stuff.
Yeah, so what'd you rate it?
Oh, a 9 as well.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it was a good finale.
Although, I will say, I feel like we usually rate all of our finales a 10, and we gave this one a 9. So maybe it does deserve to be lower in the rating of finales.
It did feel like a lot was going on. Like, there was, and as far as, like, the storm being the through line, it's kind of like the windstorm episodes or the fog in that one season. Like, weather catastrophes are not my favorite.
Same. Totally agree.
So, I like more people-driven things instead of acts of God.
Well, and also there were so many, like you said, so many different, like, people storylines. There wasn't a lot of things, like, super connected. So, it felt like a lot to consume, I feel like.
Agreed. Just a reminder that after Time of Death is called, we have our post-op. So if you are a patron, a $10 patron, and you are listening on the Patreon app, you will get that bonus 10 episodes. It won't be in your normal iTunes or Spotify feed. You have to listen to it in Patreon. Also, Brie, we don't need to call Time of Death because we have someone calling Time
Yay!
Of Death.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we will just end this in a second, and you will hear our friend Samantha call Time of Death. And then immediately following that, stay tuned for post-op if you are a $10 patron. So thank you so much for listening, and here we go into season 10 soon.
Hi, this is Sam from New York, and Time of Death is 1739.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.